Welcome to Farmers Inside Track. Every week, we dissect vital aspects of agricultural practices to empower Mzansi's farmers in maximizing productivity and efficiency. I'm your host, Dawn Umdu, and in this episode, we're exploring the realm of climate-smart beef production. With global warming presenting unprecedented challenges to the agricultural sector, it's more crucial than ever to adopt sustainable and resilient practices in beef production. Joining us today is Motsabi Mokolobate Chadiwa, junior researcher in animal breeding and genetics at the Agricultural Research Council. She'll be sharing insights into how climate-smart beef systems can be designed to enhance both adaptation and mitigation strategies in the face of climate change. Motsabi, welcome to Farmers Inside Track. It is a pleasure to welcome you to the podcast. It is such a pleasure to have such a dynamic person in the agricultural sector to be able to chat to, and especially on this topic, which is around climate smart beef systems and just understanding what all of that is. But firstly, I want to just get to know you a little bit. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Dawn. I'm Motsabi, and I work for the Agricultural Research Council as a junior researcher, and I'll take a little bit through my journey of getting to agriculture. I was born in the Northwest, raised in an area called Lichtenberg. I don't know if you know that area, but in a nutshell, how I got into agriculture, my dad is a small-scale farmer, and I had vowed to not to do anything concerning agriculture. But what happened is that eventually I had to choose between computer sciences and whatnot. Eventually, fate would have it, I did the animal science. And then fast forward, I did an MSc with the University of the Free State and my first degree with the Northwest University. And that's how I ended up here. I did my MSc project with Agricultural Research Council. So that's how I ended up in the agricultural sector. And I'm enjoying it. It has its ups and downs, but yeah, so far so good.
I must say, you know, usually when farmers will tease or researchers will tease, like, I can look pretty with my nails and my heels and still work in agriculture. And you definitely give me that picture of, like, I can still work in agri, but look, you know, beautiful and attractive and all of that. So I just wanted to compliment you on that as well. You don't really look the part, but you're obviously doing all of it with so much passion and dedication. So thank you so much for your continuous contributions to the sector with the work that you do day to day with the Agricultural Research Council. Now, you know, more to the topic and what we're focusing on today is around, you know, climate smart beef systems. And I kind of just want to understand, you know, just a bit of background of why this is really important for the now. What is the context behind this? If you can just give us some background as to why people should even consider listening to this and understanding more of this topic when it comes to livestock production.
And livestock production is an actual fact. It is the pulse of humanity. People are often asked to go and have their checkups with the doctors and whatnot, your yearly checkup to check if you're okay and if your vitals are okay and so forth. But with agriculture, before you do anything, the clothes that we wear, you've had your breakfast, you need to thank a farmer. You look at your plate, we eat three times a day and we cannot function without food. So it is very important that we put a light into this sector because it is actually the pulse of Africa. We need to put more light into it and have an understanding so that when there are theories that are made outside or propaganda is made, we have the relevant knowledge to understand the entire system.
No, definitely. I think, you know, more and more people are really focused on that. And I think it's really important to highlight that as a start. Now, when we talk about climate smart beef systems, how can climate smart beef systems be designed to enhance both adaptation and mitigation strategies in the context of global warming?
Before we get into the designing of the climate smart solutions, one of the things we should also look at is for what production system are we looking at, one and two? Is it for commercial farmer or subsistence farmer? Because these two farmers, they're not equally resourced. And the challenges, while they are affected by climate change, the effect will differ in terms of what kind of production system it is and in terms of available resources. In general, for your climate smart production system, it would have to sustainably increase productivity and income, and it should be able to help the resistance of the production system to climate change and also help it adapt. And by so doing, we reduce our emitted greenhouse gases that we often hear about. So for a small scale farmer, if one says you need to put a shade or covering for your livestock, they may not have the adequate resources to do that. However, on the other side, for the commercial side, it may be a viable solution. I don't know if you catch my drift with that. I don't want us drawing one blank statement or painting them with one brush. We need to custom fit our solutions to the localities and the resources available. For the small scale, we'll also need to make sure that the resource being utilized are used efficiently and effectively at most.
Thank you so much for that context. I think that's a very important aspect to kind of look at the type of farming and at what scale and how it affects the farm. We always talk about practice will change from farm to farm. The way I farm is not the way you would farm, or Tabi, the way your father would farm.
100%.
If we talk about, management practices, what specific management practices or technologies can be implemented to improve resilience of beef production systems to the impacts of climate change? You mentioned shading as one. What are the other practical aspects that one can kind of incorporate? And how does one kind of start to understand even how to implement these practices and management systems from the start, or maybe even to transition to them from previous practice or behaviors in the past?
Let's look at the extensive system. That would be your cow with calf production system, right? One of the important factors would be, I would say, to work with nature. No, not work against nature. What I mean by that is you manage your pasture or your grasses effectively. For example, you implement things like rotational grazing, because if you put cattle on one camp throughout the year, you do not give the pasture to the grassland enough time to recuperate. And we are also affecting the soil nutrition also. And it's going to become a vicious cycle when we have overgrazing. When we have overgrazing, you don't have enough feed for the cattle. And if you don't have enough feed for the cattle, now you don't have adequate output and you don't preserve the soil health, biodiversity. And we don't aid in adaptation to the changing climate. And what else could we do? We look at feed efficiency. We feed with a lot more efficient feed with better quality. We could also breed for climate resilience by selecting breeds that are better adapted to the local environment or local condition. And that could also enhance the resilience of your whole production system. And we look at your water management that can. We could implement water efficient practices like rainwater harvesting. And we could also increase the robustness of the farming system. And in that, I mean, for example, if you've been only farming with livestock, you could also find a way of including crop so that when either of the two is not doing so well, the other one could supplement the other. Those are just a few of those that I can mention.
I think that's more than a few. And you actually touched on one of our other topics that we have done on Farmers Inside Track, and that's specific grass species selection for pasture management. I think that's another entire conversation that I've had with another expert on pasture management. And I know that that's something that we can definitely go on and on about again in terms of soil type and what needs to be intended for specific livestock, considering climate and the like as well. Thank you so much for touching on that aspect as well. And also just for listing all of these other options that farmers can possibly look into when they would like to change over to their beef production systems, really to understand how the climate will affect them in the long run and continues to affect them even day to day You mentioned one thing, and it actually brings me to my next question, you know, in terms of weather patterns, extreme weather events is also something that we need to kind of look at. In regions where it's extremely vulnerable, what are the key considerations for developing climate resilient beef production systems? What should farmers take note of, or be aware of when it comes to these, you know, vulnerable extreme weather events?
In terms of extreme weather events, particularly like your heat prone areas or areas that are prone to the heat or extreme weather condition of drought, you do not want to take exotic breed because the maintenance requirements of that particular breed will be a lot higher than your indigenous breeds. Our breeds are adapted to harsher conditions and they cope better. They adapt much better. So what they could also do is have multiple sires of use a sire of an indigenous breed that will also aid in having an output that will be your calf, other than having a bull that is not going to produce anything because of heat stress, because heat stress will affect reproduction up to 8 weeks after the season of extreme heat.
That's really something to consider, and I'm sure we can probably focus on that in another session as well. My last question, are there specific breeding programs or genetic selection criteria that can contribute to the development of these climate-resilient beef cattle breeds?
There's no one specific genetic program to choose one specific breed for one specific trait. This is how it works. Every farmer should have a breed indicative. What is it? What I mean by that is that what is it that they intend to achieve? And they look at what they want to achieve and you work backwards. And how do they achieve that? And having said that, different farmers will have different breeding objectives. And your objectives will inform what you select for the traits that you include in your breeding objective. For economically important traits, you may include growth, there'll be winning weight, intercalving period, and the likes. There's no one specific. You look at your breeding objectives, but that should include a breed that is more resilient, and that would be your indigenous breed, because it is not like every breed is successful everywhere. It goes with your environment, and only that management also contributes to the success of your breeding program.
Thank you so much for that context, Sabi. Now, for our next part and part two of this, I would like to focus on specifically, you know, grazing practices and also the integration of agroforestry systems that contributes to, you know, climate resistance of bee production to kind of mitigate environmental impacts. But if we could just wrap up, you know, just this part of the conversation, what would you say is the key takeaway for farmers to kind of think about when it comes to climate change and understanding the impact of that on their beef production generally?
One of the most important things would be to record, because when you record, you've got a way of measuring, and you should have an idea of when your first rains come, so that could also help in designing your breeding period. You need to know such things. And other things that could also work is that measure how effective you utilize your resources, natural resources. Are you making the most of what you currently have? Because there's no use in trying to get something that is a little more complicated, whereas you don't have the know-how of utilizing what you have. So that would be proper use of your resources, an effective and optimal use of your resources. And one other thing is that would be to broaden your livestock, your production system, in terms of not only crop or not only livestock, but to find ways of integrating the two, so that when the other one is not doing too well, you can use the other to complement the other. And that's more or less that.
Thank you so much for sharing your expertise, Motsabi Mokolobate Chadiwa, Junior Researcher in Animal Breeding and Genetics at the Agricultural Research Council. And to you, our listeners, thank you for joining us here on Farmers Inside Track. Until next time, take care and keep farming smart. For more insights on optimizing your agricultural practices, visit Farmers Inside Track on www.foodformzanzi.co.za. From me, Dawn Numdu, our technical producer Megan van der Vent, and the rest of the hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, happy farming.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love Food from Zanzi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.